Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Always thrilled to have our next guest join us. He played offensive line for the Browns and the Giants and the Rams, and he's part of the Browns Radio Network, the pride of Toledo. He's John Greco. Hello, John.
Guys, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being with us, bud. We appreciate it. Yesterday seemed like a lot of opportunities for the Browns that they didn't quite capitalize on, John. And yet, despite that, I find myself not being overly upset that they didn't get it done. It was a tough finish to a good season. But still, I think you take the good season and you build on it from here. What did you think as they lost it yesterday?
Well, I would agree with you. And I think the hardest pill to swallow from yesterday was the fact that they could have won the game and probably should have won the game. I think that's the biggest thing that I'm trying to deal with right now. They didn't get blown out. They weren't outmatched. They didn't get, you know, outplayed. They just did some things that were kind of uncharacteristic of the team throughout their second half of the season, really when they were, you know, winning those games convincingly, taking care of the football, forcing turnovers, you know, and that's kind of what it all boils down to. And, you know, when you have turnovers, and we talk about it all the time, you know, I think Nathan Zagura was saying when they were even or in the positives in the turnover margin, they were like 11-0 or something like that, which is incredible. And that's something that every head coach that I've ever been around from the first meeting in the spring is pounded home, take care of the football. And that goes for everybody. Everybody's tasked to do that. And they just didn't do it yesterday for really the first time in a while and you know, left some plays out there. But I think that's what the most, you know, I don't want to say discouraging because I was impressed with how they played. They showed up. They were ready to play. And it just they just fell short. I think that's what's the most disheartening.
John, when you talk about, I think that's an interesting point you bring up about things that we were used to seeing, you know, certainly in the second half of the season when they really seemed to prosper there. Do you think that some of that was also in terms of maybe play calling with a conservative play call versus maybe where in the second half you saw Kevin become more aggressive? Like, did he seem comfortable in that second half, particularly on that final, what ended up being their final drive? What did you think of that?
You know, to what you were saying about the kind of the makeup, the personality of the offense, it did seem like it shifted. I want to say around the Tennessee game where they came out and just started firing the ball all over the place and they jumped out to a big lead. And then they kind of shifted into a, hey, let's try to jump out on these teams early and then lean on the run late in the game to finish it out, as opposed to just let's run the ball 40 times a game and, you know it's coming, try to stop us. So their offense kind of evolved, and I think that the trust factor, once Kevin Stefanski had that trust in Baker Mayfield and the offensive line and the receivers and their understanding of the system, I think you saw him kind of loosen things up and open up the playbook a little bit. So yeah, I liked where they were in the latter part of the season and really yesterday. And like I said, they just, you know, you saw Nick Chubb get going a little bit and you were kind of thinking, you know, can he be featured more? Should they be trying to wear this Kansas City team down. And I think when they fell behind a little bit, you had to start playing catch up and getting the ball in the air more. But, I think it's a good position to be in where, you know, they're not one-dimensional like some of the teams that we faced and some of the teams that were bounced out of the playoffs because of that fact. This team can win in a variety of ways. If the running game isn't going, they've been able to hit it in the play action and with the receivers and tight ends. If the offense is kind of stagnant or struggling a little bit, the defense was taking the ball away and creating extra possessions. So that's kind of the thing that they're hanging their hat on right now, the fact that they can win in a variety of fashions, and it takes all 22 guys and all 53 and the coaching staff to win these games, and they were doing that late.
John, I agree with you on that. I like to have a team that's able to do things a couple of different ways. But we kicked around early. Do they need to refine their identity in the offseason? Because I think there were times, and I keep going back to the Jets loss, where they just didn't run the ball against a team that you should be able to run on like crazy. And it still bothers me that Nick had 5 carries in the first half yesterday and Kareem didn't have any. And that's your bread and butter. And I go back, the team I kind of look at is Tennessee. Because Ryan Tannehill has reinvented himself there. And he's got A.J. Brown and he's got Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith at tight end. And they throw the ball really well. But, man, when push comes to shove, it's Derrick Henry, and they run the football at Tennessee. And that's kind of what I'd like to see here when you have two guys like Chubb and Hunt. Do they need to redefine it, or are they okay?
I think they're okay. I think when you say redefining it, I use the term evolved. I think they realized, you know, you're doing all of that running and trying to establish that run and pound that ground game and load the box to open up the pass and open up that play action. And I think they succeeded in that in the first half of the season because that's all chess in Kevin Stefanski's eyes. When I played in this system, it was always about, hey, listen, it might be tough sledding early on because they're going to be loading the box and it's going to be, you know, 7 guys blocking 8 or blocking 9 and the running backs have to deal with some open free tacklers. And I think you have to do that. You have to, you know, walk in a certain sense in order to run later in the game. And I think they were able to do that. It was kind of softening defenses up because they were proving and showing that they were able to make people pay over the top. So I don't think they necessarily have to, you know, reinvent it or try to reestablish an identity. I think what they have is a multidimensional offense that is able to attack you in different ways. You know, I think something that maybe I'd like to see them hit more are screens. I think a team that runs the ball very well and hits big play action plays and expects a lot of blitzes, I think there's a lot of yards to be made in the screen game. So if I was to be ultra critical, I would say, you know, maybe incorporate some more of those. But the fact that you brought up, or the point that you brought up about, you know, the minimal carries for Nick Chubb in the first half and Kareem Hunt really being non-existent, that surprised me, especially since Kareem Hunt was facing his former team. He was, you know, deadly in the red zone. I was expecting them to kind of get those guys featured more. But, you know, look, it was the divisional round against the former champs or the defending Super Bowl champs. I think they were just trying to get their feet wet and see what was working, see what Kansas City was throwing at them. And at the end of the day, guys, like we said, they had their opportunities and they had their shots, and they just fell short.
Former Browns offensive lineman, currently on the Browns radio network, John Greco is joining us on Baskin and Phelps. Hey, John, obviously everybody's got, you know, hindsight 2020, 4th and 9. I have to admit, in the moment, I didn't have a problem with Kevin's decision to punt the ball, and a lot of it had to do with Chad Henne, what Chad Henne had done on the previous possession. I didn't necessarily like the play calling on that drive where they got to 4th and 9, but as far as the punt itself and the decision to do that, what was your take on that?
I would agree with everything you just said 100%. The fact that Chad Henne was in the game, hadn't had a lot of snaps, was just kind of thrown in there. You know, obviously he made that crazy third down scramble, and which was probably the play of the game for them. if not the one that the fumble, forced fumble on the goal line. But, you know, going back, I agree with the call. You punt it. You know, you try to play the field position game because if you go for it, you know, you give them a short field, they're probably going to get a field goal if they pick up a first down. So I like that choice, and I would agree with you. The play calling was, I think they kind of, I don't want to say hit the panic button, but they could have executed and that a little bit better before that punt and decision to punt. But there were some things that could have gone, you know, different ways, and I'm sure Coach Stefanski's ultra critical of himself today. The challenge on the incomplete, you know, on the pass on the sidelines there. Obviously, that's happening so fast, and the guy's back was to the Browns sideline, so you know they were rolling the dice on that. And of course, Kansas City's not going to be showing those replays in the stadium, so you just have to go off of kind of a gut instinct. So you had that, and they burned another timeout. So they were just trying to play the odds you know, trying to punt the ball, force a stop, get the ball back, and let Baker try to win it. And I was okay with that, but it just didn't work out.
John Greco joining us, former Browns offensive lineman, part of the Browns Radio Network. John, let's look ahead a little bit. I would assume your answer to this is going to be yes. I think the answer is yes. Is the Browns offensive line set for next year and beyond? And in addition to that, would you add anything to this offense? You think there is any glaring need other than a return of Odell Beckham Jr.?
Well, I think the offensive line is set. You know, maybe a quality backup just to create some depth. The guys that were, you know, that filled in for tackles, guards, people that went down with COVID, with injuries. They did a more than formidable job just filling in. I mean, you know, it was a big question mark when they were asked, when a starter went down and there was a guy that went in, and obviously you lost some backups to injuries. So I would just say get some guys in there that can provide quality depth to an offensive line that is in the top tier in the league, and obviously probably number one overall. So I would think you don't touch that except for maybe bolt add some quality depth. To your point about Odell, that would be really the only issue that I would say. Maybe, you know, guys, this league is all about speed right now. Speed kills. So, you know, maybe a big, large target at receiver, something that – and you saw it yesterday when they threw that vertical, when Baker threw that vertical to Peoples-Jones on the sideline. That was refreshing to see. And when they have those routes where there's only two guys out on those play actions, you want Baker to be able to throw to a large target when all else fails and he's covered and there's nothing there, throw it down the sideline and the guy goes up and make a play. So I would say if I was being ultra critical or looking at it under a microscope, you try to get speed or a big, large target at receiver. If Odell, you know, can't come back or things don't work out, you know, I'm not going to get into that, but whatever happens with that situation. But outside of that, you can't really find a hole on the offense or a, you know, glaring need that they need addressed. It would just be about window dressing at this point or trying to make something great better.
John, one of the reasons, and obviously with the offensive line, and one of the reasons Andrew Berry did what he did in the offseason, it needed to be upgraded, but also you wanted to get the most and have, you know, everything in place for Baker to succeed, and that includes play calling and a system with Kevin Stefanski. We really saw the offense blossom in the second half, as you referenced earlier, but also Baker. Can you talk about just how big were the strides that Baker took from, say, you know, week 8, week 9 to the end of the season, and where do you see him in the future with this team?
He took huge strides. I think both as a professional and in his leadership roles and capability, and on the field in his performance. I mean, he was so accurate and so efficient. You know, he had the great touchdown to interception ratio. So I think he settled in there. I think the big thing from Jump Street with him was trust. And credit Andrew Berry and those guys in the front office they solidified the offensive line. They addressed a huge issue and a huge need because I think they wanted to get a fair and, you know, kind of judgment of Baker and to see where he was at. Is he the guy moving forward? And I don't think you could give him a fair assessment if he had a, you know, Swiss cheese in front of him where he was getting hit all the time, sacked. It's hard to evaluate a guy when he's constantly under pressure. Well, he had a lot of time to throw this year, and he made teams pay. So it was interesting, and it was a joy for me to see his progression throughout the season. Early on, you know, we were talking, you know, could this throw been a little bit better, this and that, and, you know, we can make excuses now because the season's over. You know, they didn't have the off season. This offense takes a while to kind of gel and have that chemistry come together. Obviously, you know, it blossomed, as we say, in the second half of the season, which was great. But, you know, who knows? Maybe with a full off season and going into this off season, maybe they come out of the gate firing on all cylinders because of the rhythm and everything that they're establishing in that off season. So, you know, to circle back and answer your question about Baker, I think he is the guy. I think he's more than capable of making teams pay with his accuracy. He can throw the ball down the field and play action. He's got a huge arm. He's accurate in those short to intermediate throws. He's got passion. He's got fire. You know, you know, he's out doing things in the community. He's a great teammate, a great leader. And, you know, I think he's matured mentally. And like I said, on the field, I think his numbers speak for themselves.
Yep. John, thank you very much for being with us all season long. Insight has been terrific, and I can't wait to talk to you during the offseason.
Guys, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, as always.
John Greco, John, former Browns offensive lineman, Browns Radio Network, joining us right here on Baskin and Phelps.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.